The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus to listen to him. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to the father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off for a distant country. There, he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, and here am I, dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat me, as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son, had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." The father said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your father was dead. Your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Right after this homily, we're going to have some special intercessions commemorating 9/11. So I want to devote this time to the parable that you just heard in the gospel. You probably heard this story about the prodigal son 100 times. It was one of the most popular stories that Jesus ever told. It had great meaning for the people of Jesus' time, and it has great meaning for us, the people of our own time. But there are some details in the story that you might not know about or understand, or they're at least not well known today, or maybe hidden inside the dialogue and the details of the story. These could make this story even more meaningful for you and me this morning. For instance, when the younger son asked for his share of the inheritance, which is one-third of the estate, because the older brother always got a double portion. When he asked for this while his father was still alive, he was asking for something that the Jewish scriptures discouraged. The book of Ecclesiastes, or Sirach, says, "Let neither son nor wife, a brother nor friend, have power over you as long as you live. Give not to another your wealth. When your few days reach their limit, at the time of death, distribute your inheritance." So it was this: the younger son wished his father were dead. It's amazing that the father consented to this. And because he was giving away a third of what would have been would have helped him in his old age. Was he heartbroken? And if there was a mother in the family, was she devastated too by what this young son did? There's another element in the story we might not appreciate, and that is the village or the extended family in which this family lived. When they heard what this younger son had done, they must have been furious, maybe even wanted to berate the father for allowing this, but certainly angry with the son for going off into a far Gentile country and spurging his inheritance instead of staying home and using it with the people around there. The village would figure in this story a little later, too. After the son wastes all his money, and we don't get details about just how, he's starving. He's abandoned by all his friends. He hires himself out to a wealthy Gentile, and this man, with some disdain for this Jewish lad, sends him out to feed the pigs. This was something that was not allowed for a Jew to do, according to Jewish law. And because he was a hired hand with that job, he had a right to share in the butchered pigs, but this was something he couldn't do either, because that also was forbidden in according to Jewish law. So the son was hungry, and he longed for that nauseating mixture of pods and wild berries that the pigs were eating. That's when he came to his senses. He devised a plan for going home, and he really seems to be sincere, a model of repentance. He regrets he has no money left to take care of his father, so his plan is to become a hired servant, a slave to his father and brother, abdicating any right he had as being a son. And that way, at least he could contribute to his father's care while his father was still alive. He also knew that he was going to have to put up with the shame, the rejection, and maybe even the abuse of the villagers or the extended family for what he had done. But he was willing to do that so that he could come home. Now notice what the father does. Does he anticipate that the son will be returning? The gospel has him out there looking over the hills, and when he sees him, this geriatric picks up his robes and dashes out to meet his son. Maybe he wants to get there before the villagers to protect him, and maybe that's why he keeps kissing him and in front of everyone rejects the son's little speech and gives a speech of his own so everybody could hear it. He shows clearly that he is reconciled to this lad because he calls him my son, this son of mine. He orders the best robe to be put on his son's ragged threads, and maybe that meant the best robe that he had as a father. He orders sandals on his feet, which are a sign that he's not a slave, but a free man in the house, and a ring to be put on his finger, which is like giving him the credit cards. The son can't believe it. Not only that, the father orders the fattest calf to be slaughtered, which would be enough for the whole village or the extended family, maybe to try to help persuade them to be reconciled to the son. So the party begins, but then comes trouble. in the form of the elder son. He is furious at the father and insults him, refusing to come into the house. He doesn't even open up his dialogue with the father with any kind of term of respect. He begins by saying, "Look." He refers to himself as a slave all these years rather than a son, and complains that he never even got a goat, whereas his wayward son gets the prime rib. He won't even call the fellow his brother. He refers to him as this son of yours. Then he makes up the part about the son having wasted his money on prostitutes, because there's nothing like that in the story. He had absolutely no compassion for his son, his younger brother, like some of the people that Jesus had in mind when he was telling the story. What is remarkable about this father, and we could call him the prodigal father because he lavishes his love on both of his sons. This father addresses this rebellious elder brother as my son, reaffirms that everything the father has still belongs to him, and he pleads with him to come in and celebrate, because it's as if this son has come back to life, was lost, and now is found. We never learn whether the elder brother ever came into the house or was reconciled with his father and with his brother. And we never learn whether this story had any real effect on the Pharisees to change their behavior and attitudes. Well, it's over 2,000 years later, and it's 9/11, and the story goes on. I think the challenge for you and me today is to try to find ourselves in this story. And nobody can do that for us except you and I. Amen.